Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for the Sabbath. And Father, the fact that we are able to tune in live this evening, it shows that you've been merciful to us this past week. And for that, we're very thankful. And so, Father, as we're coming together this evening, be with those that are still on their way or even considering or thinking of joining. I pray that all those that do join in, all of us here, as we listen together, as we study together, may your Holy Spirit please grace us with thy presence. And I pray that you inspire our hearts. Draw us to thy throne of grace and mercy to give us help in this time of need, Lord. For we are hopelessly lost unless you come and teach us. And so, Father, we invite your presence to be with us. Please, guide us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Sabbath to all those that are joining or that are here. Don't forget to leave your comment of praise. But let's jump into the Bible. We are continuing our study on the Mount of Blessing. We are now in chapter 7. We have gone through chapter 5 and chapter 6 already. And we didn't start right at the beginning of this lockdown at chapter 5. In our K group that we meet every Friday night at my house, we study together. We've been going through Matthew 5 until the lockdown came, and then we switched it on to online. But for all my K group members that have been coming to my house, all those that have been coming to my house every Friday night, I'm looking forward to that time we can meet up again soon. And although the MCO was lifted a little bit, our group is still too big to be able to meet on Friday nights, but we're looking forward to that time when we can get back to normal again. But for now, please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. This is what we're going to be studying this evening. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says this: "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Many people quote this text. Why? Because they don't like people to judge them. When sometimes people say things that the Bible seems to rub against them the wrong way, and they go, hey, don't forget, Sabbath is a holy day. Let's keep it holy. And they'll say, don't judge me. You know, we like to say things like that and get defensive, and we tell people, don't judge me, you know. And we like to use this text: judge not. Don't judge, that ye be not judged. But is that what really this text is saying? Because, you know, it's very natural for all of us to judge. Maybe as you got on the live stream, you were judging and saying, how come nobody's there sitting at the chair? That's a judgment. How come the lighting is like this again? It's because I only brought one light with me. You judged, you know? And it's natural to judge. A person walks in and they dress a certain way, we judge. We look from head to foot, we see the shoes are like that, we judge. A person comes late, we judge. They're not there, we judge. They are there, we judge. Judgment is really a very natural thing in our hearts and our minds. So to tell a person, don't judge, it's very unnatural. And that's not really what the Bible is referring to. What does it mean as we go through this? Does it really mean that we should never judge anybody? Let's go to also a parallel passage found in Luke. Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38. Let's turn the Bibles there. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 and 38. And I'm going to make sure I turn my Bibles there so that you're able to follow along. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 and 38. The Bible says this: "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." This gives us a little bit of a different perspective. Judge not, that you be not judged. condemn not, so that you won't be condemned, but forgive, so that you'll be forgiven. And we studied that before as well, 2 weeks ago. Give, and it shall be given to you. Treat people the way that you want to be treated. Treat someone, if you judge them, make sure that you're willing to take that judgment, it seems, in this setting. And if you want to be forgiven, make sure you forgive. You see, do unto others what you would like them to do unto you. An eye for an eye, it sounds like, isn't it? A tooth for a tooth. But look, what you do to them, they will do to you. Look, should we judge? Let's turn the Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3. Let's turn our Bibles there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3. Let me tell you, this is not talking about just don't judge, full stop. 1 Corinthians 6, 3, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If we're going to judge heavenly beings one day, how can we not judge the things on this earth, right? So those are heavenly beings. But on earth, there are smaller matters. So yes, we will judge, and judgment is important. Let's turn our Bibles to Exodus. Exodus chapter 18 and verse 13. Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. Look at this. What does the Bible say here about Moses? Exodus 18, verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. Guess what? That was Moses' full-time job until he says, God, this is not good. He had advice from his father-in-law, Jethro, and he says, look, you're going to wear yourself out if you do this from morning to evening. Find yourself some men and let God put His Spirit on them, and they can judge the small matters and you judge the big ones. So from the very smallest of things to the biggest of things, we would judge. What is this referring to? An eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth? Judge not that you be not judged. So if I don't judge me. And sometimes we're like that, you know. But that's not good. Then anything goes, isn't it? And sometimes we get to this point to, hey, I don't want people to judge me, so I don't judge you. You just leave me alone, okay? I'll leave you alone. That's what it sounds like when we read from Luke chapter 6, the parallel passage just now, isn't it? But let's come back to Matthew chapter 7. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it will be measured to you again. But then, verse 3 is very important. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? What is the problem with this person that is judging? That Jesus says, don't judge. Right? The problem here is, the person that you're judging has what? A mote in his eye. What is a mote? It is a stick or a twig or a straw. So the person you're judging has a mote in their eye, a little piece of straw, and then the person that is judging, you're the person that's judging, and yet Jesus says what? You have a beam in your eye. This is a stick of timber. You know what they used to make fences, what they used to make floorboards or even tables or table legs? That's timber. So the person that's judging has this huge piece of timber in their eye, and the person that they're judging has straw, a little twig, something they can break with just two fingers. Look, this is hypocritical judging. You're looking at someone that is doing a very small thing, yet the problem that you have and what you're doing is 100 times worse. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Be careful that you don't judge when you yourself is far worse off. Let me give it in a different way, from a civil judging sort of perspective. Do you think a actual judge, the one that, you know, will sentence you to death or prison or whatever it is, if you've done something bad, do you think the judge is worthy to judge you if they themselves are a murderer? I don't think so, right? So, the judge has to make sure that he has his head and body and legs way above water, so that when he judges, he's giving a fair treatment. Otherwise, guess what? His judgment will be skewed. So, look, let's go back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, we're at Matthew 7. Now let's go back to Luke chapter 6 and verse 39. What does the Bible call these people that are doing such judgment? Okay? Luke chapter 6. So we read verse 37 and 38 at the beginning. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. We read verse 37 and 38 just now, but now look at verse 39. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? So in this judgment, it seems, this person is blind. And they are blinder, more blind than the person that they're calling blind. Do you see that? Jesus is saying, look, this person's blind. You can't make a good judgment. You yourself have problems, which is much bigger than the person that you're saying has a problem. What is a spiritual condition of blindness? Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. What does the Bible say about those that are blind? But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. The person that is blind, they forgot that they were purged from their old sins. It's almost as if these people that are judging, they're so blind that they can't see. But look, is this person forgiven in a sense? No, they have a beam in their own eyes. So they're not able to see their own problem, but yet they magnify the problems of others. And sometimes people, when they forget that they've been purged of their own sins, they forget that what they used to be was much worse than what they're seeing right now in another person. Do you see that? Or maybe they see their old sin of themselves in another person, and they get really angry or disgusted or upset, and then they do this sort of judging, not realizing that they used to be like that, but even their current condition is far worse. The Pharisees were always like that. They were the ones that were called hypocrites all the time. They dragged the woman who was caught in adultery through the streets, but yet they were plotting the death of Jesus. Or the man that led her into adultery was standing right there in the presence of Jesus, thinking that he could get away with it, not knowing that God read the thoughts and lives of every person that stood there. Friends, if we are to judge, we got to make sure that we're not hypocrites. We got to make sure that we cast the beam out of our eye first before we attempt to take the mote or the twig or the straw out of another person's eye. You see that, friends? Look, it's not that there is no room for judging at all. Judgment is important at the civil level, and I believe at the home level especially, and even in the church level, church discipline. Being able to meet the needs of the people as a pastor, you judge their condition without telling them. We stand there and we look, we see, you visit people, you talk to people, you make judgment all the time. And from there, you pray and ask God to give you a message that will speak to the people's hearts. Judgment is important all the way from church discipline itself to a person that's left church. But the person that's left church cannot turn around and judge someone else that's left church. They're in the same condition. Do you see that? A person with a beam in their eye absolutely cannot judge someone with a twig in their eye. But, if you are able to get the beam out of your own eye, by all means, talk to the person that has the twig in theirs. We're going to come back to this one in a minute, okay? But let's continue. Look, let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 2, verse 1. The Israelites had this sort of problem, judging. And of course, we see it manifested in our day here and there, but look, let's not go looking for it. Let's make sure we look at ourselves first to make sure we don't have a beam or even a twig a mote in our eyes. Let's turn our Bible to Romans chapter 2 and verse 1. Romans chapter 1 gives us the background for this first verse in Romans chapter 2. Chapter 1, Paul is talking about the gospel, and then he seems to be talking to the Gentiles and saying how that they were so wicked and the knowledge of God they rejected, and that's how homosexuality come in, that's how the wrath of God is poured out upon them, all these sins that they're doing, and the judgment of God will be manifested in their lives, Paul is saying. And you can see the Jews, they're celebrating. They're probably saying, yes, preach it, Paul, preach it. But then Paul turns around in Romans chapter 2 and looks directly at the Jews. And this is what he says in verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest what? The same thing. Paul was saying, look, for all that I'm talking about here, even though you as a Jew might be rejoicing that I'm talking about all these Gentiles that are so wicked, you do exactly the same thing. And not only that, you take pleasure in doing it, he says. The Jews were committing exactly the same sins as the Gentiles. But what were they saying? Oh, I'm circumcised. I'm baptized. And sometimes we think, maybe I'm the elder, I'm allowed to do this, or I should do this. Or I'm the deacon, or I'm the head deacon, I should do this. Or as a pastor, I got to make sure that I set people in order. But before we get to that point, friends, we got to make sure that we have checked ourselves for any beams or motes. Because Jesus says, before you ever, ever think about judging another person, judge yourself first. And this is really important, friends. Because sometimes I think we are so blind to our true condition. And why? We're not looking at the mirror of God's law. We're looking at everybody else except our own reflection. And if only we would spend time looking at ourselves, I think we would see very clearly that we are hopelessly lost. Hopelessly lost in sin. And that we need Jesus and not looking at other people to make ourselves feel better. Look, what does the Bible say though? If we see someone that is in sin, that they do have a mote in their eye, or even a beam in their eye, what should we do? Let's turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Look what the Bible says here. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Happy Sabbath to everybody that's coming in. I hope that you're following along with us in your scriptures and making sure that as you focus, you're not losing focus, chit-chatting on there and wishing happy Sabbath to everybody. Let's make sure we focus here. What should we do if we see someone that is in sin? First step, remember, we've got to check ourselves. We can't help others if we ourselves have not been helped by God first. Okay? We have to cast out the beam from our own eye. The definition of the hypocrite, you know, usually hypocrite is what? They say, but they don't do. But in Matthew chapter 7, the definition of a hypocrite, Jesus kind of gives it a little twist here. He calls these people hypocrites, and which is what? They are not doing, but yet they're judging someone else. Maybe not of the same sin. This one has got a beam in their eye. The other person's got a mote in their eye. But yet Jesus says, when you do that, you're a hypocrite. It's not telling someone to do, and you don't do, but you're a sinner judging a sinner. But wait, we're all sinners, right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But a sinner that is saved by grace, then you can help. Then you can judge. Do you see that? You can make a decision. You can call people out. You can say, hey, let's keep the Sabbath holy. But you can't say that unless you're keeping the Sabbath holy. You see that? So what should we do when we see our brother or sister who has a mote in their eye? Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Friends, look, there's a judgmental spirit that we've got to be careful of. I was caught up with it, you know, when at a few stages, you know, when I first started studying the Bible, it was as if God literally, you know, turned on the light. You've been sleeping in darkness the whole night, and you turn on just a little light, and it's so bright. I remember these experiences that I had early on when I was around 20, 21 years old. As I began to study, Daniel 2 was amazing. I'd never studied anything like it. I don't know. I had attended evangelistic series growing up. I grew up in the Adventist church. I remember going in Penang there at the Adventist hospital. They ran an evangelistic series, and you attend as many nights and you get a Bible. I still remember the color Bible I had. It was a blue Bible, my first Bible that I owned. But do I remember a single thing that the person said? Absolutely not. I don't remember anything, you know. And I don't know, my mind just was not there. And then I began to study the book of Daniel, and it was like light flooding into my heart. And so many things began to change in that first year of studying the Bible. But you know what happens? You begin to automatically look at people and say, God, why aren't they doing it? But he's a leader. She's a leader too. Why aren't they? And instead of keeping your focus in the Word of God and that mirror, you start looking at people, and you got to be so careful with that. You got to be so careful. And then coming out of theology school, a young preacher, getting invites here and there, and sometimes, friends, you let that get to your head. But you go there and you say, look, I got to tell them everything I got to tell them before someone's lost. And you tell them everything, and it comes across in a very judgmental manner. We got to be so careful that as we begin to grow in the truth, that we are careful about it. That when you see people that are overtaken in a fault, when they are in sin, don't go, hey, don't you know what the Bible says? Maybe they do, but they're struggling. And they're ready to let go of Jesus. Maybe they do and they don't care. I remember a friend that called me one day and said, Ben, I don't care if I don't go to heaven. It shocked me. And telling them, hey, don't you know the Sabbath? When you tell a person like that, they will say, I don't really care. Do you see that? We got to be so careful when it comes to this type of judging that we have the right spirit. Jesus says, when you judge them, make sure you do this. Restore them. Bear their burdens. But in order to do that, you have to understand what their burden is first. You got to understand them. What drives them to do this? And what's happened? Why they leave church? Is something happening in their lives? So, Christ's method alone will give true success. What is it? He showed sympathy for them. He started off with sympathy. And then, he won their confidence. Ministered to their needs. And they were able to see that Jesus really cared for them. And then he said what? Come, follow me. You know, friends, until you show them how much you care, they won't care what you have to say. You know? So Jesus, he showed sympathy for them. He ministered to their needs, won their confidence, and then he said, come, follow me. So, look, holding up these signs in the corner of the street, Jesus is coming soon, the mark of the beast is this, and if you don't repent, and the Sabbath is the seventh day, if you don't keep it, you're going to burn in hell. That's never converted a single soul. If anything, it's made that person seem more fanatical and more crazy, isn't it? And it's put people off from the gospel. What is the real problem? Let's go back to Luke chapter 6. This is where we found the parallel to Matthew chapter 7. Let's turn our Bibles back there. Luke chapter 6, and we're looking at verse 40 now. So we read verse 39, the person that does these sort of judging, they're blind, and the blind cannot lead the blind. But then, verse 40, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. What does this have to do with judging? You see, look, the disciple is not above his master. Did Jesus judge? Yes, he did. He did judge, in fact. He judged the Pharisees. He called them whited sepulchres. Outside, they were full of, they looked beautiful, like the white tombstones. But inside, they were full of dead man's bones. Jesus did judge them. He turned over the tables in the temple. Can you believe it? The meek and lowly Jesus? Yes, he did that. He did judge them. He wrote the sins of those people that dragged that woman through the dirt, caught in adultery. He wrote their sins on the sand. And one by one, beginning from the oldest to the youngest, they left. Jesus did judge. But if you are going to judge like Jesus, here in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, it says, everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Do you know where we saw the word perfect? Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. In Luke chapter 6, we don't see the word perfect, we see something else. Go back a little bit in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 36. What does it say there? In place of Matthew 5:48, same passage, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Look at what it says in verse 36. Be ye therefore what? Merciful. As your Father in heaven is merciful. What sort of judging should you have? Merciful judging. But before you get there, make sure you've dealt with your heart. Because if you want to judge like Jesus, make sure you're like Jesus first. If you want to go out and preach, make sure. And you're sharing the message, make sure that you've prayed. Make sure you ask Jesus to search your heart. Make sure that your heart and life is right. Don't just walk into the pulpit thinking that no one else knows and that you can still preach a powerful sermon. Oh, friends, God knows. He sees. And before you judge, make sure that you are like the Master. Perfect. Perfect in what? Matthew 5. Perfect in love. Loving your enemies. And this is even not your enemy. This is your friend in church. Make sure you love everybody. Make sure you have that merciful judging. But there is place for judging today, my friends. There is. We read the text earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Don't you know that we're going to judge angels one day? How much more the things that pertain to this life? There is room for judging. And I believe that there needs to be judging. It's important. But before we ever get to that step, we got to search our hearts. We got to see if there's any wicked way in me. We got to ask God to create in me a clean heart. But, you know, when you look at this whole situation then, it's like a catch-22, you know. Are you perfect? No, I'm not perfect. Don't judge me. No, yeah, okay. And then, don't judge anybody at all. No church discipline. No need to instruct, no need to exhort, no need to rebuke, no need to guide, as what the scripture says it does, then how can we help each other? You see that? But of course, we have to make sure we get our heart in order. Friends, we got to be careful that if we are going to judge, make sure your heart is right. Make sure you've prayed. And make sure you've fasted. Make sure you've prayed again. Make sure that you can stand before God without fault. That's really important. So before we think that God has sent us to be the judge of the whole world, let's make sure we're like Jesus in character first. You see that? I want to add a little bit here to our study this evening, though. There is something just as bad that is connected with this that James talks about in relation to judging. Let's go over to James chapter 4 and verse 11. I'm going to expand this study a little bit. Yes, we have to look at our hearts. You know, the true Jew was not that which was circumcised outwardly. It was that which was circumcised inwardly, the heart. And circumcision is what? Cutting. Cutting away what? Cutting away sin. But in James chapter 4, verse 11, it gives a different understanding about this judging. James 4:11, the Bible says this, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of what? The law. And judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a what? Judge." Friends, what is connected with judging your neighbor or your friend or whoever here? What is it connected with? Speaking evil. Speaking evil. What does it mean to speak evil? Talking evil about somebody. Talking bad about somebody. Friends, we got to be so careful about what we say. The tongue, James says, is a world of iniquity. We got to be so careful what we allow out from our mouth. Trust me, I know that I've hurt many people with what I've said, from the pulpit all the way down to personal relationships. Friends, I have a quick tongue. And we got to be so careful that we don't speak evil of other people. Let me show you some other passages in the Bible that is related to this. Let's turn the Bibles to Proverbs 26 and verse 20. Proverbs 26 and verse 20. What does the Bible say here? Proverbs 26 verse 20. "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, there strife ceaseth." Friends, the next time before you go and tell another person about what another person said that is bad, consider this text. If there's no wood, there's no fire. So if there's no talebearer, there's no strife. Do you see that? A talebearer, maybe not even necessarily evil speaking, just speaking the truth about evil things. Verse 22 of Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26, verse 22. "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." It hurts. It hurts. We got to be so careful about what we say to other people about others. Judging. Do you understand that? When you talk about somebody to someone else, you're judging that person that you're talking about. Do you see that? There are some times that we got to give facts and information, but let's not go around thinking that we're doing some holy work and saying, "I just need to check with you about this person," or "I just need to make sure that, you know, this is what I heard correctly about this person," and then we open up and tell everything else. Friends, sometimes we think we need it, talking about other people to make me feel better, and we go away from these conversations, "Oh, I just feel so much better after I said it." But did it solve anything? Those sorts of sessions, unless you go to the person directly and deal with the issue, it only solves a problem temporarily, like a drug, like going night clubbing, like having sex before marriage, like smoking. These are all temporary things. So is gossip. So is gossip. Psalms 34, verse 13. Psalms 34 and verse 13. Maybe you're not judging anybody this evening, but James, he puts judging on the same level with evil speaking. Psalms 34, verse 13. "Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile." What is guile? False information. Lies. So, what is evil speaking related with? It is related with speaking false things about people. We got to be so careful. Let's not talk about people. Let's talk about our mission. Let's talk about the gospel. Let's talk about Jesus. A million other things that we can talk about. But let's not get involved in talking about people, because the more we talk about them, by beholding, you become changed. You got to be careful, friends. You got to be careful. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2. Look at what the Bible says here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let's put aside all this malice, guile, hypocrisies, evil speaking. Let's rather what? Spend more time in the Word of God. Friends, as newborn babes, this is people that are starting out their Christian journey. We should put aside all these things. And if you have been in your Christian journey and you're still doing these things, you've got to come back to the basics. You've got to spend time, more time, in the Word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. And in sincerity, that milk will change us. It will make us more sincere. It will make us more real. It will make us help us to stop talking about other people, friends. It will change our heart. It will make us more like Christ. It'll make us perfect, even as He is perfect. Let's go to one more. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 30 to 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. There's something just as bad as judging your neighbor. Friends, it is evil speaking. And really, they are the same thing. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 to 32, the Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Remember we studied Matthew chapter 6? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As we forgive others, God forgives us. But guess what? We need the Holy Spirit to seal us to the day of redemption. We need Him. And if we need Him, we need to fast and pray. Friends, the reason why we judge other people, the reason why we gossip about other people, just look it up in the pen of inspiration. Just type it gossip and sin. You'll find it put together. Friends, we do something much worse when we do gossip. We talk about other people and we think that, we're talking important matters, when in fact sometimes it doesn't get resolved. Friends, if you're holding a grudge against someone else, if you're speaking evil of somebody else, the first thing you got to do tonight is ask God to forgive you. And then you got to go and restore that relationship. Restore them back to God. Restore them, that they might be helped out of their straw experience, the little mote in their eye. But before you can do that, you've got to make sure that you are restored back to God first. For holding forgiveness from somebody is like holding forgiveness from God. It's like what? You owe God $1 million, and this person only owes you $1. The bigger, the sum is much bigger when you study about the parable, but that's about the same. Do you see that? You owe God $1 million, and this person only owes you ₱1, and you're still not willing to forgive them. Well, friends, tonight we got to cease all our evil speaking. Let only good things come out of our lips. Let's only speak good things about people. Let's make sure we judge them in a positive way. Let's look for the good in everybody. Friends, I say this not because I'm perfect. This is something I struggle with. We got to make sure that we look at the positive side of everybody. For everybody is bought with a price, by the blood of Jesus Christ. So friends, today, we got to do the difficult thing. It's not how the Asian way it is, or, you know, the Filipino way, or the Malaysian way, or the Chinese way, or the Australian way. Ben, you're like this because you're brought up in Australia, and that's why you speak, and you can go to people and talk to them and tell them their problems and the issues that you have. No, friends, it's not easy. The first time I ever had to go up to somebody and tell them that they'd hurt me and I forgave them, it was in U.S. I thought it was easier just to gossip about them before that. But I had to go back and talk to somebody and tell them that I forgave them. You know, the response was negative. It hurt me even more, but, you know, I had to do it because the bitterness was in my heart. And then I have to ask God to help me to move on. By the grace of God, He does. And no, it is not just a Western thing. It is a Bible thing. It is a God thing. God says, if your brother has offended you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. He tells you to do that. He doesn't care what race you are, how you're brought up, how shy you are. He doesn't care. He says you got to do it. You see that, friends? And that will help to cease with the evil speaking. That will help as the Word of God pricks our heart and our conscience, and the Holy Spirit works that conversion through the Word of God into our hearts, and it cuts. But God is cutting away sin, even though it's painful. And He gives us a heart of flesh. And so today, friends, let's be careful about judging. Let's be careful about what we say. Let's be careful about what we say about others to other people. Let's not destroy people's reputations. Let's build them up. And then if you've got nothing good to say, then just learn to be quiet. Just learn to be quiet. Where there's no wood, there's no fire. May God help us today that we would watch our mouths, that we won't speak evil, that we won't judge. But today, let's be like Jesus, perfect and merciful in Him. May God help us. It's a high calling. None of us can do it unless we've gone through the steps in the Beatitudes. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we fall so short of your glory. Even when we think we're on the right path, our righteousness is like filthy rags. Lord, please forgive us this evening. Help us to see our need. Help us, Lord, that we might see our relation to you and how you weep, Lord, when you see us act this way and treat others this way and hold back forgiveness, and we start to gossip and speak evil things. Oh, Lord, it pains your heart. Help us, Lord, to be different. And so today, Lord, give us a pure heart and a pure mind, that you might give us the words of Jesus. May our words uplift and heal the brokenhearted. And help us, Lord, to be busy in your work, especially on this Sabbath day. Help us to find something to encourage each other. Lord, there's a lot of hurt out there, but help us to be lights this day. So thank you, Lord, again for the Sabbath. Thank you that we can rest from all our works of unrighteousness. And help us to truly rest in thee this day. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.